بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إن شاء الله تعالى فإن شاء الله we'll continue with the remaining ahadith and narrations on ahkam عموما or specifically dealing with the issues or related to siyam fasting from blue maram. We're now on the hadith of Salman ibn Amir al-Dibbi رضي الله عنه عن سلمان ابن عامر الضبي رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أفطر أحدكم فليفطر على تمر فإن لم يجد فليفطر على ماء فإنه طهور رواه خمسة وصححه ابن خزيمة وابن حبان والحاكم رواه الخمسة وصححه Ibn Khuzayma wa Ibn Hibban wal Hakim. And Salman ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said that if any of you, or when any of you breaks fast, then let him break fast with tamar, which is the type of date. And if he doesn't find that tamar, then let him break his fast with water, because verily it is pure. Let him break his fast with water, because verily it is pure. We're going to deal with this hadith of Salman, and then we're going to deal with the hadith of Wisal, inshallah ta'ala, for this lesson. As for this hadith of Salman, we're going to deal with a few issues as it relates to this. The first issue is the authenticity of this hadith. This hadith, as is mentioned here, has been authenticated by Ibn Khuzayma and Ibn Hibban and Hakim. He's been authenticated by these three ulama of hadith. But other ulama, and you can say this is point one, have found that this hadith has some discrepancies. There's some discrepancies or hidden defects as it relates to this hadith. And if you remember, we defined a sahih hadith, and one of the conditions of an authentic hadith is that it must be free from what? Free from illal, or free from hidden defects. And there's two defects in this hadith. There's two hidden defects in this hadith. And Shaykh al-Albani rahmatullah alayhi in Irwa al-Ghalil, volume number 4, page number 49. Shaykh al-Bani, rahmatullah, in Ira al-Ghalil, volume number 4, page 49. He talks about the isnad in this hadith. And the first discrepancy is the narrator in this hadith. And it's a female narrator, and her name is Irbab. Now, Irbab is only known to narrate on one narrator, and that is Hafsa bint Sirin, rahimahullah. Hafsa bint Sirin. Hafsa is a thiqah. She's a trustworthy narrator, Ma'rufa. But as for this Irbab, she's not known. She's majhul. She's majhul hal. Her state is not known fully. So in these situations, when the state of a narrator is not known fully, the ulama, they step back. They step back until there's other narrations that support, or other isnad that supports this isnad. And this isnad here has Irbab, and she is an unknown narrator. She is an unknown narrator. So that's the first discrepancy in the isnad. The second discrepancy in the isnad, as Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned, is the non-consistency in the asanid as it relates to this hadith. There's something that's not consistent, something that's muttarib, something that's shaky, not consistent. And that is that in one isnad that is brought, it says that Hafsa bint Sirin, she narrated on Salman ibn Amir. And in another narration, it's on Khalid al-Hadda. And Shu'ba and Khalid al-Hadda. So the Sheikh al-Albani, just to make it simple for you, he said that this isnad is muttarib, it's not clear. This isnad is muttarib, is not clear, and it lacks consistency. It lacks consistency. So because of these two ilal, because of these two discrepancies, Sheikh Albani says, "Falam yathbut indi, wallahu a'lam." Falam yathbut indi, wallahu a'lam. So he said that this does not. This is not established. It's not an established hadith. It's not authentic. So he made the hadith da'if. He made the hadith da'if. And then the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he then says that which is sufficient for us is the hadith of Anas. That which we can use in this bab, in this chapter of breaking, how to break fast, is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuftir ala rutubat qabla an yusalli, fa in lam yakun fa'ala tamrat, fa in lam takun tamrat hassa hasawat min ma." Hassa hasawat min ma. Where the Prophet sallallahu, where Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to break his fast with rutub, which is a specific type of date. And then he would break his fast with rutub, and then he would pray, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For if he doesn't have this rutub, which is a specific type of date, then he will break his fast with tamar, which is another specific type of date. And if he did not have tamarat, if he did not have tamar, he would drink sips of water, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wouldn't guzzle it. He would drink sips of water. Sips of water. And this hadith is narrated in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood, rahmatullah alayhi. And this hadith is Hassan. So that's the hadith that we're going to concentrate on as relates to the benefits in this chapter. As for the hadith of Sulaiman, Ibn Amir, this hadith is weak. But the authentic hadith is on who? It's on who? Anas. And what did Anas say? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to break his fast with what? Rutub. And then what would he do after that? He would pray, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if he didn't have rutub, he would break his fast with tamar. And if he didn't have tamar, he would what? Water? Or did he just tell us how he would drink that water? He would take sips of water. And he's not taking ghazal it down, but taking sips of water. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this hadith here, we're going to talk about a few benefits. And that's the benefits, obviously, which is related, similar to the hadith of Sulaiman, but there's some specifics in Sulaiman which makes it that we cannot use this as a hadith that strengthens the hadith of Sulaiman. The first benefit that we can take from this hadith is the compassion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for this ummah. The compassion that he had sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this ummah in advising the ummah to break their fasts with what? with rutub, to break the fast with rutub, and to break the fast with tamar, dates. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in Tibb al-Nabawi, in his Tibb al-Nabawi, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in Tibb al-Nabawi, and also in Zad al-Mu'ad, he mentions this and says that hadha min kamal shafaqatihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala ummatihi. And this is the compassion, this is the perfection in the compassion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah, and the good advice and guidance that he's given to his ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As eating dates has many benefits. And from the benefits of eating dates is, number one, it gives the individual strength. It gives the individual strength, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned. It gives the individual strength. And it is also like a type of fruit, which is number two. So it's like a type of fruit, which gives the nutrition that you would receive from fruits. And that's from the benefits of dates. And likewise, it's sweet, which is number three, is that it has a sweet aspect to it, which will also give that aspect that is needed in the body as it relates to the vitamins and nutritions and sweets and so forth. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said that there's many benefits in this. In this, it's sweet, it gives strength, number one, and in that it's like a fruit, so it gives the nutrition in that aspect. And number three, in that it has a sweetness to it as well. It has a sweetness, and all these things are good for energy, and all these things are good for energy. So it's from the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had compassion on his ummah, to advise them to break fast with dates. Point number three, as it relates to this, is the fact that it's mustahab and it's preferred that one breaks fast with dates. And not only dates, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a specific date, which is the best one that you should break your fast with, and that is rutub. I think you've seen what rutub is. It's not that dry. It's kind of in between, a little bit moist. Rutub. It's a date. It's a specific type of date. So if you go and you want to buy dates, try and look for something called what? Rutub. And it has its season. And I think the season, by the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is, if not close, or just before Ramadan. So for example, in the Mamluka in Saudi Arabia, they would take these dates just before Ramadan and freeze it. And this is the rutub that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith. And the next benefit that we can take from this hadith is that if we don't find dates, then we do what? Dates, whether it's rutub or tamar, if we cannot find the two, we drink water. Do we drink it heavily or we sip it? We sip it. And that's again from the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is a great hadith, and it shows you the perfection of this deen, which is benefit number four, in that this deen deals with every aspect. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has even taught us how to eat in a state of anger when our stomachs are empty. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that, you know, that there are many research that has been done to show the how healthy and how beneficial and nutritious dates are. And this shows the wisdom of the revelation and the beauty of the deen of al-Islam. Inshallah, we go to the next hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's hadith an Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Qala naha Rasulullahi صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الوصال فقال رجل من المسلمين فإنك تواصل يا رسول الله قال وأيكم مثلي إني أبيت يطعمني ربي ويسقيني فلما أبوا أن ينتهوا عن الوصال واصل بهم يوما ثم يوما ثم رأوا الهلال فقال لو تأخر الهلال لزدتكم كالمنكل لهم حين أبوا أن ينتهوا And that's the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه. that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to prohibit al-wisal. He used to prohibit al-wisal. And al-wisal is continually fasting and not breaking. Al-wisal is continually fasting and not breaking. And then a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Muslims, and he said, but verily you do wisal. You do wisal. You do wisal, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ayyukum mithli, who from amongst you is like me? Who from amongst you is like me? For verily I sleep, as I'm asleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, He feeds me and He gives me drink when I'm asleep. And then in the hadith it continued, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, he said, and when they rejected and declined and continued doing al-wisal, they were ardent and stubborn in continuing doing this wisal, and that is continually fasting without breaking. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he done wisal with them. He fasted continuously with them and he didn't break one day. And then he fasted with them and he didn't break another day. Until they saw the hilal. Until they saw the hilal, the crescent for the month of Shawwal. So the hilal here means the crescent for the month of Shawwal. Until they saw a Shawwal, the hilal for Shawwal. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if Shawwal had delayed a bit, if the crescent for Shawwal had delayed a bit, I would have done more. Yani wisal. I would have done more. Yani wisal. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is taken as the fahm of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Hurairah, he said, this was as if like it's a punishment for them. Like a punishment for them because they didn't stop doing continuous fasting. Because they didn't stop doing continuous fasting. Muttafaqun alayh. Muttafaqun alayh. Naam. Point number one. Naha Rasulullah anil wisal. Naha. Naha, which means he prohibited, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What's the meaning of naha? Naha is kaf, talabul kaf ala waj al isti'la. Talabul kaf ala waj al isti'la. And that is the request or command of stopping to do something from somebody who's more superior than you. The meaning of naha, which is a prohibition, is the request for someone who is more superior than you to stop doing something. The request from someone who is more superior than you to stop doing something. That's the definition of naha or nahi. Huh? Yes. No, it's the request from someone who is more superior than you. It's the request from someone who is more superior than you from doing something. And if somebody who is more superior than you is telling you not to do something. That's the meaning of naha. And in kaf, al-kaf ala waj, talib al-kaf ala waj, al-isti'la. And somebody who is telling you to do something, and that somebody who is telling you to do not to do something, rather, is more superior than you. Huh? Yani, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's a prohibition from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is requesting that you stop doing this. Yani, you stop doing wisal. So that's talib al-kaf ala waj al-isti'la. Naam, al-isti'la. Naam. And Shaykh al-Muthaymin rahmatullah alayhi, he said, al-murad bi qawlina ala waj al-isti'la laysa ma'naahu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yatasawwaru nafsahu 'aliyan ala ghayrihi. And the reason, that even though this is the definition, is what we're not saying is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held himself to be greater than anybody else. But this is just a definition linguistically of the meaning of naha, and in reality, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more superior. So therefore, this is nahi haqiqi. This is nahi haqiqi because you can get prohibited from doing something from somebody who's less than you. So, for example, or somebody who's the same as you. Or somebody who's not befitting to do so. So for example, somebody says to you, it's haram to do this. Is it? Do we just take it like that? Huh? What do we say? Where's your proof? And we need a proof from who? The kitab? The sunnah. Naam? So that's the importance of this definition. That's the importance of this definition. Because they're not in that level of wajil isti'la. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal is. Point number two is the meaning of wisal. I've already explained that, and that's the meaning of wisal. What's the meaning of wisal, ikhwan? What's the meaning of wisal? Continuing the fast for the next day non-stop, not breaking. Continuing the fast to the next day and not breaking. Point number three, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inni abitu yut'imuni rabbi wa yusqini. He said, I sleep and my Lord feeds me and gives me drink. I sleep and my Lord feeds me and gives me drink. Yani that's why, and that's the illa, and that's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does wisal, that he fasts continually. No, just daily. Any day, daily. For example, it's Maghrib. He doesn't break his fast. He just continues. No. I mean, Al-Zahir, the Prophet did that in Ramadan. Al-Zahir. As for whether he did it any other time, I have no knowledge on that. But here we're dealing with this hadith, and this hadith is clear that it's Ramadan. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inni abitu yut'imuni Rabbi wa yusqini," that I sleep and my Lord feeds me and gives me drink. What's the meaning of this? The ulama differed. What's the meaning that the Prophet ﷺ was fed and he was given drink? What is the meaning of this? The ulama mentioned two different meanings. One of them is more correct than the other. The first of those is a statement that Shaykh Muthaymeen mentions, that some of the ulama, they say, إِنَّهُ طَعَامُ مِنِ الْجَنَّةِ, that verily it is food from Jannah. That's what some of the ulama have said. وَإِنَّ الطَعَامُ وَالسَّقِي مِنْ جَنَّةِ لَيْسَ كَالطَعَامُ الدُّنْيَا, that verily the eating and drinking that is intended here is from the drinking and eating in Jannah and not from this world. This is an opinion of فِئَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ, or group from the people of knowledge. And the second one is the opinion, and they say that قول الثاني في مسألة مراد بالطعام والسقي هنا ما يحصل للقلب من الغذاء بذكر الله. And Ibn Uthaymeen mentions the second opinion, and that is that which is intended here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received that which is in his heart from nutrition, from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the dhikr and busying with himself and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled in his heart, that it has made him not be in need of the hissiyah, yani those tangible, physical type of request, yani, or need for his body, because he was busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that this is a proof that this is specific for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this wisal is min khususiyya ti rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is from those things that are specific for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Clearly because he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him drink, and this is from the sign of his prophethood. This is from the alama nubuwa, and this is from the sign of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Point number five. فَلَمَّا أَبَوْا أَنْ يَنْتَهُوا. This issue here, when they refused to stop doing wisal, the ulama have differed as to whether, if an individual does wisal other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that haram or is it disliked? Is it haram or is it disliked? Yani, is it haram or is it makruh? What's the definition of haram? Those who done fiqh with us last year, what's the definition of haram? What is the definition of haram, ya ikhwa? Something that is forbidden, and if you do it, you get punished as well. Is that the definition of haram, ya akhi? According to Ahl Sunnah? Ahsant. Very important. This is the definition from Ahl Sunnah, and that is whoever does the action, whoever does the action, he deserves to be punished. Yani he's tahta mashiyatillah. He's under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wishes to punish him or he doesn't wish to punish him. And the one who leaves it gets a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the definition of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, which is made specific in order not to fall into the Aqidah of who? The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. The Khawarij and who? Mu'tazila. Who have issues as relates to sinning and iman. So therefore we say تحت مشيئة الله يستحق العقابة يستحق العقابة, that he deserves to be punished, يعني, but it's the punishing will be تحت مشيئة الله, from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning of haram. What's the meaning of makruh? What's the meaning of makruh? The meaning of makruh to Imam Ahmad and the mutaqaddimeen is like haram. When I say the meaning of makruh, I mean meaning of makruh as we know it now. What's the meaning of makruh? Father.
If you do it, you're neither punished nor rewarded. And if you give up, you're rewarded.
Yeah, that's roughly correct now. And that is that if you do it, you don't get punished. But if you leave it, you get reward. You get what? Reward. You get reward for leaving it. So the ulama differed as it relates to wisal. They all agree that it's prohibited. But what type of prohibition is it? Yani for other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing wisal, which is continually fasting and not breaking, they have agreed that there is a prohibition. Why? Because the hadith clearly says what? Huh? The hadith says naha, which is he prohibited sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they're in agreement of that. But what type of prohibition does it mean? Does it mean the optimum prohibition, or does it mean that prohibition which is not as severe? The optimum prohibition meaning haram, and that which is not so as severe is al-kiraha, yani al-makruh. And the first of those is the ulama that say that is makruh. They say that is what? That is makruh. And the second opinion, because of time, they say that is what? Haram. And this is the strongest opinion. And this is the strongest opinion that it is haram for many angles. The first of those is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَحْذِرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, verse number 63, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then let those who oppose and differ with his commands, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let those who differ and oppose his command be warned and be cautious, that a fitna might bestow them, or a fitna might befall them, or they receive painful punishment. That a fitna or a trial will befall them, or they receive severe punishment, A, for opposing the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani his amrihi, not just a command, his affair, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amrihi, his affair, that includes those things that he's prohibited and those things that he has commanded. And in this hadith, he what? Prohibited. He prohibited. That's number one. And secondly, in the hadith, if you see the hadith, at the end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ تَأَخَّرَ الْهِلَالَ لَزِدْتُكُمْ لَوْ تَأَخَّرَ الْهِلَالَ لَزِدْتُكُمْ. That is, if the hilal, the crescent for Shawwal, because they were continually doing wisal with the Prophet ﷺ, and them continuing doing it was a punishment for them. And he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making them continue doing wisal was a punishment for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if the crescent for Shawwal was delayed, I would have made you do more, yani I would have increased. Okay, as a form of punishment for them. And from the understanding of the companions is what? From the understanding of Abu Huraira is what? He said, كَلْ مُنَكِّلْ لَهُمْ, like a punishment for them. Like a punishment for them. So there, with this severity in the text and the severity in the wording, it is clear that doing wisal is what? Is what? Haram. It's not light. It's not light. Based upon these two proofs, it's clear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited with a prohibition that is severe, i.e. that it is haram. That's the correct opinion. That is what? Haram. And that's the opinion of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi. In fact, he says that he leans towards it. But the for Allahu alam, the clearest proofs are on the side of those that say that it is haram. Naam. And the asl also, and add this to number three, is that the asl and the foundation of a prohibition is what? Kiraha or haram? Or tahrim? Kiraha or tahrim? The origin of a prohibition is tahrim. Is that when there is a prohibition, the asl, the origin is that it is haram until you find proof to take it away from its what? Prohibition text. And likewise, the origin of something that is a command, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if'al, do. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. This pray is an imperative, which is a command. And the origin of a command or an imperative is obligation. So likewise, the origin of a prohibition is what? Impermissibility, tahrim, impermissibility. So that's the third aspect to show that this opinion is correct, because there isn't anything that takes it away from that prohibition. There isn't any another narration that takes it away from that prohibition. Na'am. Next benefit that we can take from this hadith. The next benefit that we can take from this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against extremity. And it shows that the deen of Islam does not promote extremity and being extreme, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited this. He prohibited wisal, yani for there to be difficulty and harm on the people, because that is from the extremity. And like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ sunnati, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ sunnati فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ sunnati فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, and the one who turns away from my sunnah is not from me. And that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ was narrated to people who were going into extremes as it relates to fasting and staying away from their wives, and also in standing up in prayer for Anna Uftir, Anna Asum wa Uftir, wa Aqum wa Anam, wa Atazawwaju Nisa, fa man raghiba an sunnati fa laysa minni, where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I fast and I break fast, I sleep and I stand for prayer and I sleep and I marry women, so whoever opposes my sunnah is not from me. So extremism is in opposition to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is for every type of thing that is extreme. And that which is extreme is that which is in opposition to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And al-wisal is for the other than him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is opposing his sunnah. Naam. And inshallah, half an hour, 35 minutes, we finished the two narrations that we plan to do today. And that is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik or Sulaiman. Which one? Which hadith did we do today? The hadith of Anas. Why did we use the hadith of Anas from the Al-Ira al-Ghalil from Sheikh al-Bani? Why? Because it's what? It's Sahih or Hassan? It's what? It's Hassan, naam. And as for the hadith of Sulaiman ibn Amir, that hadith is what? Is what? It's weak. Why is it weak? Why is it weak? Al-Irbab. She was a female narrator, and she was she narrated on who? Hafsa bint Sirin. And Hafsa bint Sirin is a thiqa, authentic narrator, trustworthy and so forth. But as for Irbab, she is unknown, majhula al-hal. She's unknown and she's majhul hal, unknown to some extent, because the only person that is recorded that she narrated from is who? Hafsa. And that's not sufficient. She needs somebody to say that she's a thiqa, somebody who can give her ta'deel, somebody who can praise her and give her ta'deel, or she remains in the state of being unknown. So from that reason, it's weak. And also that there's a bit of what? Inconsistency in the isnad. Naam. So that's why the hadith today that we've done is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. And can somebody repeat the hadith for me, please? So I can make sure that we have the right love. What's the hadith of Anas ibn Malik? Who has the hadith of Anas bin Malik down? English. What do you mean? And that's the hadith of Anas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would break his fast with rutub, which is a type of date, and then after that he'll pray. And if he didn't find rutub, he'd break his fast with tamar, which is another type of dates. And if he didn't find dates of the tamar kind, then he would drink sips of water. So that's the first hadith. And the second hadith that we've done is the hadith of Abu Hurairah, which is a prohibition of fasting continually without breaking a wisal. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Is there a basis for milk when breaking fast? I don't know any proof for the basis for milk as it being from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to break fast, but obviously it does break fast, and you can use it to break fast. But as we said, that the breaking fast with dates and water, as it relates to the hadith of Anas, is not obligatory; it's preferred. But to say that the milk is from the sunnah, no, I don't know any hadith, and then we don't know any statement from the ulama as it relates to milk being from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to break fast with.
What I wanted to ask you was, you know how you said that the nahi was not for kirah, it was for tahrim, for the wasal. Why I don't understand is why the Prophet ﷺ would then say lazituk if it was for tahrim.
Because it's punishment.
Yeah, but
because they won't be able to cope.
Why?
Because so
wouldn't that be increasing them in sin?
Huh? No, that's a punishment for them. And there's a punishment for them. He didn't though, did he? And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it as a form to show that as a form of punishment for them. As a form of punishment for them, the first wisal that they were doing is a punishment for them, because he ﷺ said what? He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is feeding him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him drink. Has Allah given them? So therefore it's what? Huh? Therefore, it's what? Punishment. And because you disobeyed and you didn't stop the wisal, if the hilal, the crescent for Shawwal, was delayed, I'd make you do it again, because he's getting fed and given water, drink. By who? Allah. You're not. Do you understand? So it's from the hikmah of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is in itself a sunnah to know and show the prohibition of doing such things. And this is from the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole qissa, the whole story. And that's, you find a lot in the sunnah. Is that clear? Is it from the sunnah to break your fast with dates? Yes. Cucumber? I don't know anything to from the sunnah to say so. But dates, obviously, yes. And dates and cucumber together, I don't know. I don't know any hadith or narrations regarding this. Is it permissible to put a book of knowledge on the floor on the position of sujood? If it is permissible, what is said to the one that says there is verses? I mean, it's not it's not haram to put a book of knowledge on the floor, first of all, on the position of sujood. I don't understand that. Do you understand that? On the position of sujood, I just stick to the understanding of putting a book on the floor. But as for on the position of sujood, I can't conceptualize that. Al-Muhim, to put a book of knowledge on the floor is I'm not going to say it's haram, but it's not from good etiquette, it's not from good manners, as it relates to ilm, if you can avoid it. If you can avoid putting it on the floor, put it somewhere other than that, as people may step on it by accident and so forth. So, so to respect the knowledge and so forth is befitting that it's put somewhere else. And even so, we have like hadith and narrations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in it. And the Salaf, when they used to, like Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he used to compile the hadith and narrations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would make sure he's got wudu. He would make sure that he's got wudu as he's compiling the Sahih Bukhari that we all know. And this is for the respect and high station that one has for the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and ilm. So it's the way of the Salaf that we must have this type of respect. I'm not saying it's haram, but out of respect, it's better not to. But if somebody does it, you cannot be harsh on them and say, oh, you don't respect the sunnah and this and that and third, because I don't know any proof from the book and the sunnah to prohibit that. But as for min nahiyat al-adab and manners, it is not befitting. Allahu a'lam. If you find books of innovation in a masjid, can you discreetly take them and throw them away? That question requires a tafsil and detail. And firstly, is it a masjid of the sunnah? If it's a masjid of the sunnah, then you advise the people who are in the masjid that they have a book of the people of innovation in there. And if it's a masjid of the sunnah upon Salafiyyah, they will take the advice, inshallah, if you bring proof. If you bring proof that it is a book of innovation and so forth, then inshallah, we have husnul dhan for Ahl Sunnah and the people of the Sunnah and the Salafiyyin that they would remove that book. So you wouldn't have to do anything. If it's from the masajid of the Hizbiyyin and so forth, if it's going to cause you any harm, the ulama have advised that you shouldn't do it. If it's going to cause you harm, meaning that if you were taking and able to catch you and cause harm to you and so forth, that you shouldn't do it. That's from the advice of the ulama. But as for if you can do it discreetly and not get caught and not get harmed and not get beaten up, then inshallah that's khair, inshallah. Allahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barakala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi ajma'in.